Well, Cherry Hill Tony says it's good enough. It's fired us off.
All right, now it's charging.
All right.
Who's pizza?
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Who's the best show here?
Back show!
Who's the best show here?
Back show!
All right, that's pretty good. That's the best one yet.
Pizza. Pizza.
I use the bathroom.
Big O! Showtime!
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a limousine tech show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the gas, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that a Lincoln bath. But the strongman go direct to DLNGS.org. And IRC channels are LinuxLink.net. Bound tech show. Just sit right there, cause the castle's just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 912 of the Linux Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Pat.
Good evening.
We have Joe.
Hello.
And I suspect we'll see Joel at some point. But, you know what? The saga of my work laptop just keeps getting better and better. I received a message from my support person last week who said she had dropped it off and they don't know when it's going to be turned around and I'm going to get it back. And, so today I was outside working from the, office in the front yard, which it's nice to do in the morning here because it's all shady out there and it's not too hot yet, and you get a nice breeze and it blows the humidity around. I've been doing this for a couple of days now. Everything's been working great. I came in to make some lunch and they were heading off to the pool after lunch, so I put my laptop on the table and it was sitting there for a while. And when I went back to work after lunch, I plugged the HDMI cable in to hook up my second monitor, and my main display on the laptop, I just saw this beautiful rainbow cascade of bits just go down the screen. And it was so pretty. I was like, man, that's not good. Then after
like Matrix
that
style.
It kind of looked a little like that. It was almost like kaleidoscope-esque. It looked like a lot of like static coming through the cable. Like if you had cable TV, you get like a lot of static coming through. Instead of it being like white noise, picture it kind of being rainbow, like all sorts of pretty reds and blues and yellows kind of just like cascading down the screen. And then it just went black.
But you got to watch the digital output from a frying GPU in real time.
So, yeah, it was, I was like, whoa, man, that kind of sucks. And the laptop went down. And when it came back up, like it was, there was no display, but I could hook up to the external screen. Yeah. So I went to contact my support person to let them know about this, but apparently they're out of office this week. So I text, you know, I sent a message to one of my supervisors and or leads or whatever, I don't know. And I say, hey, you know how you say if I ever need anything or whatever, I have a problem? I'm like, I think this laptop display is fried. I could still use external display, but and our support person isn't there, and this is the loaner of the replacement of the replacement. I'm not sure, you know, I'm just so if it's gonna go, it's gonna go, you know. I don't know how much longer it's going to last before I'm not going to be able to use it at all. And maybe that won't be a problem. But I had tried everything. Like I went to look up some support stuff, because it would recognize the video card in there, but it wouldn't give me like any diagnostic information. It just wouldn't use it, but it appeared as if it was there and functional, but it wouldn't even recognize that it was a functional output. When I would look at the display options and everything, it was just the external display, nothing about the laptop display. So the recommendation that I read, one was like, okay, reset the system. I want to say VRAM, but it's not. It's like holding in shift control option and the power button at the same time and holding in for a couple of seconds and then releasing it, and it's supposed to start up. I never got that to work. Like that did nothing. I couldn't get that to work. So the other thing was zap the PRAM, which is like holding in command option P and I think R at the same time as pressing the power button.
You got a hardware issue. None of that's going to do anything.
Yeah, I didn't think it would, but these are things they say to try out before. And so you wait till it dings, and then you can let it go, and it comes up. It's supposed to flash the PRAM, reset it. That didn't fix it. Set boot into safe mode, which is holding Shift S while you press the power button. Hold Shift S in until you see the Apple logo come up. And, of course, that didn't fix a damn thing. So nothing. Nothing fixed it. It was exactly what I thought it was. It was just fried. So now we'll see what happens. But, yeah.
They're going to start complaining that you broke too many laptops.
Well, you know, I can't do anything about the battery issue. That's a known issue with that model of laptop. And then the video thing, I don't know. I do feel responsible for it in a way, because it happened when I was plugging in the external display through the HDMI cable. And I feel like really weird about that it was something I did when it happened, but that's what insurance is for, I guess. And obviously this laptop is way out of warranty. But we'll see what happens. Hopefully I'll have a replacement next week, or my old one will come back. Now, Joe, I do have a question for you, sir.
I don't have answers.
Well, a few months back, I had said, back when I was I got another nasty gram from HostGator saying, hey, you're really taking advantage of this unlimited storage by having like a couple terabytes of your show files up there. But what's been nice about them is like every time I've gotten one of those, like a higher up manager say, hey, don't worry about it. It's good. You know, don't worry about it. But I do feel guilty about it. And I had said that I was moving all of my files, a lot of those files over to Internet Archive. And I had done that months ago, and I've been kind of like, I said I was going to do it again back at in the fall, and I had said that I have a script for handling that, because I scripted it out, and you had asked me about that, whether that still works. Do you remember that, Joe?
Yes, I do.
And I will tell you, it does work, because I've been using it the past couple of days. There is a
I remember asking, because archive.org had changed a whole bunch of their backend, which was supposed to make it a little bit more difficult to do from command line.
Yeah, I don't have a problem. There's a command line script that you can get called IA, Internet Archive. It's just ia.sh or whatever it is. Wait. I don't want to lie to you. Let me make sure. What am I doing here? Okay, so it is, it's just command called IA, and it does more than just uploads. There's a whole bunch of things you could do to it. But what it does, one of the options that upload has is a spreadsheet, and not a spreadsheet, a CSV file. It can take that as an input where you can define the fields that you want to populate, and then the data to populate it with. So I wrote a script that creates that CSV file by pulling the information out of whatever it is, AUG or MP3 or whatever format I have it in. Like, it just uses like AUG info to get the title and other things like that, which then I just put it into the CSV file, and it just has, for example, like my AUG list file here. It takes a list of all the files that you put in for this script, and then it puts out a CSV file where it has the identifier, which is just like the name that I'm going to call the file. So it's going to be like our episode, TLLTS 800, and then the year, and then what type of file it is. Like, in this case, it's AUG. And then it takes the file, which is the actual file I'm going to upload, and then the description that I want to put in there. So that's what that script pulls out, all that information to populate a lot of the description information. And then it's got a media type. In this case, I'm doing AUG, and then subject. So I did another field that I could fill out. I call the title, creator, date, and collection for all that stuff where I want it to go. And then I just, that generates that CSV file. And then I just pass that to the Internet Archive, or the IA command, and then tell it to use this spreadsheet, and voila, it just fires everything off up there and creates all the meta information. And usually it takes about 2 or 3 minutes after you have pushed a file up for it to then show up and be available on Internet Archive. But it gets the job done. And I've been pretty satisfied with it. So you don't have to do it by hand. And if you want me to share any of that with you, Joe, or you need any links to that command or whatever, that's worked perfectly for me.
Yeah, if you can shoot me the link for that, that'd be great. I'm not doing the uploading to Internet Archive for Mintcast anymore. We got somebody else that's doing that for us. But eventually he's going to, quit.
Uh-huh. Wait, he's going to quit because he's sick of it?
Well, life interrupts sooner or later.
Yeah. So I will send that over to you, where I got it from. And if you need any other further assistance, just let me know.
Thank you.
You are welcome. Wait. Why don't I? Oh, this is the wrong email. Sorry.
Pizza, pizza.
Oh, I can't decide if I want to go for a bike ride tonight after the podcast, or if I need to go to Walmart and buy some groceries. What do you think, Pat?
Oh, man, I've been talking this whole time, and I've been muted like an idiot.
Yep.
Oh, man, I'm so sorry. I was, asking you questions and stuff. Why don't you bike ride to Walmart?
Well, the bike ride to Walmart wouldn't be a problem, but considering the grocery list that I have, the bike ride home might be an issue.
You need to get one of those little carts for the back of your bike.
That is a thought. But I don't have one today.
How much do you have to do at pick up at Walmart? How long is that going to take you?
Depends on whether or not the wife goes with me.
So if you go early enough, will she go with you?
I don't know. Early or late, that doesn't matter. What'll matter is if she wants to go with me. If she wants to go with me, it'll probably be an hour, hour and a half. If I go by myself, 30 to 45 minutes.
Oh, well. Then you should go for a bike ride and then go to Walmart.
I have to check and see what time they close. I don't know if they're doing the 24 hours yet. I know that for a long time there, they were closing at 10.
Then you should go to Walmart and then... But you like to bike at night, right?
Yeah, it's a preference. It doesn't really, you know... It slows down the traffic some, but people are stupid despite the fact that I have a big bright light. They pretend they can't see me.
I don't know, man. I don't think I'd drive ride around in the dark on a semi-busy area.
I got a light, and it's, you know, all side roads and stuff. I'm not riding on any of the main roads. Although the main roads I might have better luck with since they actually have bike lanes.
Well, you got a lot more traffic, and man, it's tough. Yeah.
And I gotta check. I know that there's a whole bunch of bike trails around here too. I just haven't hit any of them up yet.
Do they have lights on them?
Some of them. I think the park up the street has some bike trails and those are lit. But I know that there's one that's real close to my house that is not lit at night.
Well, I would say do the Walmart shopping first, because if you go, you get done and you get out of there, and you're off to maybe getting a bike ride in. But if you're going with your wife and it's taking twice as long or more, you might be tired by the time you get home.
Yeah, and I've already hit the gym today, so. Plus, I'll have to take the muscle relaxers sooner or later. But I'll be done with those tomorrow.
Does that make you have the poops?
No.
No. Man. I had one of my work colleagues asking me today. He was interested in getting a Raspberry Pi because he hasn't messed around with any pies yet, and he was asking me my opinion on the pies. And so what I said to him, and let me say if this sounds right to you guys, they're great devices so long as you don't want to use them as like a daily desktop system. At least that has been my experience. I mean, you can, but it tends to be kind of slow and pokey and not very much fun.
It is limiting. It's not as limiting as it used to be with the Pi 4, especially if you get like the 8 gig Pi 4, that tends to run pretty well. But you're right. I mean, even the Pi 3 had a lot of trouble with things like YouTube or any video streaming whatsoever. So it is much better to get one and then use it for a project.
Right, because he was like, he was kind of saying, well, he was thinking about using it as almost like a media server for just, you know, cataloging, displaying his images. And I said, that should be a great thing.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, you know, you were talking about it being slow for, I'm like, yeah, if you're using it, like if you're running Chrome on this thing and browsing the web, that tends to be like really slow. But if it's like acting as a media server and delivering content, that works really well.
Well, if you're using it as a Plex server, you're going to have problems. I mean, you have to do the optimization in advance if you're going to use it as a Plex server. And don't expect to get more than one stream at a time out of it. So, but if it, you're just trying to, you know, serve up images, then yeah, Pi can do that all day.
Yeah. I mean, I look at those like, do-it-yourself laptop thingies where you just slap a Pi in there or like the laptop kits and stuff. I'm like, that's pretty cool and neat, but I know it would be something I would get. I'd get it working and running, play around with it a little bit, and then not use it because it
would
be...
And then it would collect dust on the shelf for the rest of my dead projects.
Yeah, because it would be more of a pain to use that than just using a laptop or a Chromebook.
Yeah, you got to have some kind of niche that the Pi fits into.
Now, he had asked whether I tried running Docker on that, and I know, I believe Rich does. Have you run Docker containers on your Pis?
No, I think I've set it up in the past, but once again, it was the type of thing where I got it set up, I got it working, and then I forgot it existed.
Yeah. Because I heard it, you know, Rich says it does pretty well. So I haven't tried it myself.
I think I set an audio server up on one once using Docker. But then I removed it from Docker and put it in bare bones just, you know, to get rid of the extra overhead.
Right. I mean, the nice thing about having the Docker container is you could just, you have a problem and it goes down, you could just swap that, you know, re-download that or recreate that container pretty quickly if how you've ever had it in the past, whereas having to reload the whole operating system and rebuild it.
As long as you have your command saved somewhere and your config saved somewhere and your command points to your config, you're good to go.
For Docker or for...
For Docker.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, the flip side of that is if you're just installing and then doing apt-get or whatever your package manager is and then having to manually configure all that stuff again.
Right. No, because I save all my Docker commands in standard notes, so that way I can rebuild quickly.
Uh-huh.
Now, I know you can do the same thing with Docker Compose and just script it out, but it's worked well enough. Copying and pasting from standard notes for me. Since I'm a creature of habit and I tend to put files in the same place when I build a system from scratch.
What do you save your, like, what do you do note taking in?
Standard notes. I mean, it used to be Evernote, and then when Evernote changed to their paid model and really restricted how many machines you could put it on, I switched from that to Simple Note. And then I liked the encryption with Standard Note, so I switched over to Standard Note.
What do you do it with Google Drive or Dropbox?
Neither one.
Well, which one do you use?
Oh, well, I do have a Dropbox, but I've used that less and less since they, you know, started limiting how many machines you could have it on without paying for it. Okay. And then I do have a Google Drive, and I do store some things there, like my resume so that it's backed up and easily accessible. I keep a backup of a bunch of my photos there, so that way if, you know, something happens at home, my house burns down or something, I still got my photos. So I also have Amazon as a second backup for that. But really, Standard Note, it's encrypted, and as I install it, I log in, and it hits my machine. But I have had Amazon Drive in the past, and I still have it, but I basically that's a backup of my Google Drive. And Google Drive, like I said, it's just photos and some documents that I need backups for, and that's about it. I've had others in the past, but I can't remember what styrofoam. Trying to remember. I can't even recall the other ones that I've had. Asus had a free storage that they gave me for a couple of their devices that I've owned in the past, so I used those for a while. And then I got like 30-something gig of space on Dropbox from various add-ons in the past. But, I don't even know how much space I have on Google Drive.
So you're not paying for Google Drive, right?
Nope. The free tier on all of it. Except, well, I pay for Prime, which gives me Prime Photo, which, you know, gives me endless space for pictures.
So, I think it gives you15 gigs for free, right?
Right. Except for pictures, which is they will let you do as many as you want.
Oh, they changed that?
Yeah. There's no limit for pictures, but it's 15 gig for anything else.
I thought the pictures thing was included in that.
I could be wrong. Hold on, let me check.
Jeez, like what? Look, I got a lot of crap on my drive, and I don't know where it came from. Now I'm going to get rid of it.
Yeah, well, with like photos, if you have your phone set to automatically upload, then basically anything that gets onto your phone that's a picture will go there. So if you get picture messages on Discord... It says unlimited photo storage. Prime members get unlimited full resolution photo storage and 5 gigabyte for video from Amazon Photos.
Huh. Okay, so you have your Standard Notes connected to your Google Drive, right?
No.
No, you have it connected to Dropbox.
No.
You don't have it connected to anything?
I have it connected to nothing. Like I said, I log in and it automatically downloads everything I have. But like I said, it's encrypted, so I'm not worried about them having a copy of my notes.
Oh, okay. So they... I was looking over there. Is it... How much does it run?
It's... free.
Well, who's paying for it?
Not me.
Because I see it's like available free on all your devices, and I thought that it said it syncs up with Google.
Does it? I don't think so. I don't remember seeing it when I was looking through my Google Drive.
Oh, wait a second. Oh, my mistake. when I looked at it, I was automatically drawn to the features that are listed on the right side in the blue box on their page, which is the extended version allows encrypted attachments for your notes stored directly in your Dropbox or Google Drive. So that looks like it does have support for like Google Drive or Dropbox. I don't know. I've always been like, I have not found the right note taking application that I like.
Well, I will say that today I really missed Evernote, because I do like being able to pull my note out of my pocket and pop out the pen and write down my notes instead of trying to type it all out.
Wait, what did you use that with?
Evernote.
No, the device that you used it with.
My note. Your note. Samsung okay. Galaxy Note.
Oh, and it had handwriting recognition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Evernote allows you to just write notes as well.
That's provided you have a touch display and a stylus, right?
Of course.
Or some kind of touch display. I don't know. I've never tried. How well does that work on, like, a phone?
Well, you're just writing. Like, it will basically be an image of what you wrote.
Oh, it's just, I thought it was translating it then. Like OCR.
Well, I think you can get that too, but it's, you can just write.
Okay. See, I don't know, I've tried, like, back before all these internet services were available for free, I think, like, Evernote's been around for a while, but I've never found the exact thing that I thought was like, hey, this is great. I can have it on all my devices and I'm running it myself or whatever like that. Like, I tried doing the wikis and the blogs and stuff like that where I could just have it accessible anywhere so long as I could connect to into the internet, but it just never stuck with me. And I'm wondering, and I'm like, well, maybe this, like, standard notes, which would be nice that I could keep all that information somewhere, you know, not just like for my use, but also work. And I could just sync it across all my machines. Maybe I'll try standard notes.
Yeah, that's one thing I really like about standard notes is the syncing across all my machines. So if I'm working on something in one room, I can leave and come back and start working on it again. Now, granted, I can do the same thing with Google Notes, but I do like the fact that standard notes is encrypted and I'm the only one that has access to it.
Well, it's an app image, so that, you know.
Yep.
That's not bad.
Now, I would, you know, if Evernote were to come out with, like, a lifetime subscription for X amount of money instead of, you know, just monthly plans.
Right.
Then I would consider throwing some money at them and going back to Evernote because it really does have more features.
So you should just execute an app image, right?
Yeah, but you have to go in and set the permissions for it.
Yeah. Here we go. Excitement. Ah, look at that. Let's register. I've been using, like, Google Keep. But that's more for, like, creating shopping lists that I use it for. Tried doing that for taking notes, and it just wasn't.
Yeah, it doesn't stay very organized.
Yeah, so let's see. Let's see about registering. Oh, look at this. There we go. We're set up. I'll give it a whirl. I'll see if it sticks, if this sticks with me. We should write a note and say, ooh. So what do you use for password management?
Honestly, I'm lazy, so I use Chrome.
Okay.
I tried to switch to, I think, LastPass, but yeah, I just stuck with Chrome.
I gotta put this down, because I've been using PWSafe, and I like it a lot. I've always liked it, but I never explored whether. So I only use PWSafe on one machine, which my thought was because PWSafe has a database on my machine. If I ever forget a password and I need to get into something, chances are I have internet access, because that's what I would need to access. You know, that's what I'm accessing, a password via that way. I would be able to SSH back into the machine that I have that holds the passwords, and run that. But now I'm thinking maybe I should look at something that syncs across devices. I don't know. I think PWSafe does that. I just never took it that far.
Well, I know LastPass and KeePass both do, but they've both had their issues in the past. So I'm not sure what's good.
So, yeah, the PWs, I got to be careful because I'm not sure. I think there might be two different PW safes, and the one that I always keep looking at is not the one I'm using. But, yeah. So they got Linux packages, and then I use it on OS X too. But that's just for storing my work stuff, and that you can install PWSafe through Brew on that, which I'm surprised they don't list that on PWSafe's website. Anyway, how's your 3D printer doing?
It's doing good. I had a small issue with a print where the supports, I guess, just expanded and got knocked off by the printhead. So I need to print more and make some changes.
So what are you printing these days?
My wife asked me to print a pair of demon hands. So I'm trying to print those out.
What are demon hands? Is that it, literally demon hands?
Yes, literally a pair of hands that look like demon hands.
Are they like attached together or?
No,
a left and right hand.
They're a left and a right hand. It's just they're in a single print. If I want them bigger, I'll probably have to separate them out and print them individually. But I'm going to try them together.
How big are they?
Well, I've bumped up the size to, I think, 250%. So they were fairly small, and they're still going to be smaller than regular hands at that scale. But I can up the scale more.
So these are solid, right? These aren't like hollowed out where you would, or are they hollow where you put your finger in?
No. They're solid. They're as solid as you want to make them, but they do have, you know, a bottom.
And what are you going to do with these? Just display?
Yeah, the wife will put them on display somewhere.
Hey, you know what? That's good, though, because next time you need to update your printer or need another part, you can say, hey, remember? I printed you those demon hands. And look how great they were.
Yep. She usually doesn't bug me about buying parts for the 3D printer. Like, I just ordered some new springs. Some stiffer springs for the bed. But they were only like $6, so not bad. I'm still debating whether or not I want to get the BL Touch. I know that I'm going to buy Capricorn tubing when I need to replace the tubing, so I don't think I'm going to order that today, though.
So your printer's out in the garage, right?
Yeah.
Wait, is your garage climate controlled, or is it like, does it get really hot out there?
It gets really fucking hot out here.
Does that cause, aside from the silicone tubing issue, does that cause any other problems with your devices that you have out there?
In the past, it has caused problems with some of my tower PCs, okay. But not with my current one.
Where you had that thing water cooled?
No, it's air cooled. I'm a computer scientist, not a plumber. But it sits on the floor, and it's kind of in a corner, so you know the nice, somewhat cool cement.
I remember when we first started doing the show, way back in the day. I had a compact server that they got rid of when I worked at the school district. I can't remember what it was, but like the model number of it. But it was a very large tower, and it had very loud fans and SCSI drives in it. It sounded like an airplane taking off all the time. It was so freaking loud, and the heat that thing blew off of there really helped contribute to the making that room a sweat box in the summertime.
Yeah, well, I do remember in the past, in the wintertime, turning on not in this garage, but in El Paso, turning on several computers and getting them to do fun things to warm up my garage.
Huh. And you know what? You lose a lot of that if you go switch to like Raspberry Pi devices for a lot of things. There you go. Back to the beginning of the conversation. They don't generate a ton of heat.
Well, the Pi 4.
The Pi 4 going to generate as much heat as a compact server?
Oh, no. It generates a lot of heat for its size, which definitely isn't going to do anything to help warm up a garage.
Yeah. I mean, like in the wintertime, I would just have to run that server and that room would be warm. I wouldn't even need heat in there. But damn, I had that thing a long time. I think I had that a couple of years when I moved in down here to Virginia. It was still running that. And then I got the servers that I ran VMware on and was doing VMware images until all that blew up and I had to go with the Raspberry Pis. But yeah, those servers, when I was running VMware on the Dell servers, they were smaller, but the fan was loud on those too. But they weren't as hot.
My old AMD Phenom 2, that thing sounded like a jet. It got a little loud.
Oh, man, that reminds me of back in the day. You have to deal with this. I don't really have to deal with this that much, but back in the day, backing up servers was a critical thing. Backing them up on tape drive.
And an extremely time-consuming, tedious process.
Oh, yes. So you've done backup to tape drive, right?
Not for like a business or anything, but yeah, I've done a backup to a tape drive before.
Oh my goodness. We used to, so when I worked at the school district, we had to back up we back up our servers nightly, and there was another one for backing up our GroupWise stuff onto a tape. And holy goodness gracious.
Oh my God, that would suck.
That was one of the things we would have to, when we go into the schools. Actually, you know what's interesting is...
Did you have a separate tape drive for like each computer so you could just set it and then go home?
Yes. Yeah. Well, yeah. So what we had was in our elementary schools, there was like only one server per elementary school. And then like in the middle school... there are a couple of different servers, and same at the middle school, there was like two servers, so there wasn't a lot. I mean, we're not talking a ton of servers, but each school had at least one server, and then we had like web server and the GroupWise server and a few other servers at the high school, file servers and stuff. And they were all netware, so they were all kind of like linked together, and in each one had a tape drive in them, and so it was primarily the librarians, especially at the elementary schools. The librarians handled the actual like backup, not managing the backup, but they were the ones that would come in the morning and take the tape out and put the the next day's tape in. Now I think about this. There was I can't remember the name of the application. Backup. I want to say Backup Exec is what it was. And that was it was an application that you would connect to via desktop system. You would run the application and we connect to the server that running the Backup Exec service, and it was running on the netware on the Novell server, and it would tell you whether or not the backup was successful. So if it was successful, it would catalog it, and then it would keep track of the tapes and where everything was, so that I believe there was like 2 weeks worth of tapes. So once you got wrapped around again back to, say, Monday, the first line of tapes, you put that in, would read the serial number of the tape, and realize that, okay, now it's overwriting that Monday's tape. And so it would update the database and have all the information on there. So if you needed to restore a file, you would go to the Backup Exec application, you would look for that file that you wanted restored, and then it would be available on certain tapes. And so you would say, okay, I want to restore it from this day, and you would have to put the tape in, and it would have to spin all the way around. And this could take like more than an hour to retrieve it, depending on where it was on the tape. Holy moly, I can't believe I remember all that stuff. But yeah, it was always a problem when you would end up like, you would come in and the librarian would be like, the backup didn't work last night. And so there really wasn't anything that you could do to fix that if it didn't work. You just had to see if there was like maybe some files were hanging open or whatever. You had to look at what that was. And then from there, try and figure out what you can do to solve that problem that it doesn't happen the next night. But that was theoretically, if a server were to go offline, we could restore it from a tape drive, but I don't think we ever tried doing that, because that just seems like a recipe for disaster. Like, I don't know if you've ever had success in like, I remember back in the day I used to take backups of my Windows machines.
Yeah, I don't think I ever had a successful restore.
Yeah, you were better off just saving your data and then just doing a fresh install and copying the data back in place.
But yeah, I don't think I had too many times where I needed to do a restore.
Yeah, me neither. Doing a restore would have been more of a pain in the butt than just doing a brand new install.
Pretty much. Nuke and pave.
So yeah, you install that Bonsai Buddy back in the late 90s, and when it destroyed your system, you'd restore backup, and there it would start all over again.
I don't think I owned a computer in the late 90s.
Oh, you were in the military then, weren't you?
No, I was in high school.
All right, you were close to being in the military.
The only computers that I worked on in high school were the one at my friend's house and the ones at the school.
When did you get your first computer?
That I owned? 2000, because I was living in the barracks at Fort Bliss? So, yeah, it was either 2000 or 2001. I think it was 2001.
Do you remember what it was?
It was a Walmart special. What?
So was that a compact Presario or
yeah,
a Packard
compact.
Bell?
Yeah, it was one of those two. It was a piece of shit. That's what it was.
Packard smell.
Oh, yeah, there we go. I didn't think you were going to show up.
He was on a while earlier.
Yeah, it was, and what I was gonna do was gonna hop in the car and had adventures with SharePoint today, where a client deleted their student role from their production SharePoint portal, and we had to figure out how to get it back. All it was is just adding an AD group event, you know. Ultimately, but it's harder because the servers in this case is in what we call our resource domain. So the servers, the Windows servers themselves, they don't live on the client's domain, even though they're in the cloud. In this case, that's actually starting to become our normal operator procedure. That's how we're going to be doing things going forward. Some of our clients have their stuff in their machines. So that happened about, 5 o'clock. And the on-call admin's like, what the hell do I do? And I'm like, I don't know. The worst part is our portal expert. Guess what? Guess where he's at? Vacation.
Oh, yeah, on vacation, huh?
Yeah, so I didn't finish until about 8:30. 8:30, quarter of nine. So I was going to jump in the car and do the show from our house, which is, yeah, ever inching inching closer. My office has carpet now. They put the sinks in today and quarter round all around. Electrical's almost done. There's only like one thing I can think of that's outstanding. The exhaust fan in my son's bathroom doesn't seem to be working, but the garage door opener's in, and of course that was in last week, but they did like I'll say final painting a good chunk of the house, except for there's one place last week where I'm betting one of the outlets didn't work or something. So the electrician cut out drywall, fixed it, screwed it back in. Of course, it needs patched now. So stupid stuff, you know. But talked to the superintendent, and they said they're going to be finished with their work in 2 weeks. That doesn't mean I close in 2 weeks. That means they're going to be finished in 2 weeks.
Watch. So, the day after you move in, the plumbing's going to back up.
Well, stuff always does happen. It just does. And that's what you have a warranty for. But anyway, it'll be an interesting move. I could be wrong, but when we were over there, there's a house that's more done than ours right now. They even have their grass in, although it's looking mighty brown right now. It's like the builder wasn't watering the front lawn. I don't care. You know, that's going to be fixed by what will happen is once we're moved in, they will have a service come and do all the land groundskeeping and stuff, so I don't have to mow grass anymore. But yeah, it's close. I do think we extended our stay here. Today was to be our last day at the Candlewood, but we obviously had to extend that. So right now I extended it to the 23rd. So as far as I know, I think we'll be able to stay here indefinitely. It helps that we're already there, you know, and we're getting closer, but it's so much just having us all in one room, man. That's the biggest pain in the ass there is.
For another couple of months.
And it better not be. Now, the thing I don't get is, at the time when we signed, before anything happened, okay, before any holes were dug, all right, I know us and at least the neighbor in the corner, you know, we signed the deal. So we signed a deal, and what happens?
Prices triple.
Well, that did happen. I wouldn't say triple, but you know, things gone up. Yeah, I'm
surprised
outside.
They don't try to wait you out.
Yeah, well, they won't. Well, you know, they better not, because in that case we'll be suing. But but not just it's just, you know, they signed a contract. It's not my fucking fault they're not gonna make money on it. You know, but
well, they'll still make money on it. It's just that they won't make as much money as they possibly could with the way prices have gone.
Yeah, I mean they might break a little bit, they'll be a little bit under. I mean, there's no question of that. But it's like, so you got people that signed the bill, signed on the dotted line, and we're gonna do this thing, right? So you'd think they would build all those and finish those things first, right? Nope. There's all sorts of ones with available on it that they're actually doing. And I'm like, really? But it is what it is. We'll get through it. And there'll be things that we got to do that those ones with the available signs in front won't get to do. Like, for example, they won't get to have structural changes like we. If they wanted a screen room, tough titty, you can't get a screen room because that house don't have one on it. You might be able to pick the color of your siding and your paint and stuff inside. Decide if you want to get appliances, but you know, but you can't change what the house is. You know, you might not even get a chance to pick a siding. Well, usually what happens is the later in a development that you sign the dotted line on, you know, you're coming after a whole bunch of other people. So you get whatever color siding is available. You're like, they won't let you put two houses in the development that had the same color right next to each other. You know, because they don't want everyone's house to look the same. But it's the last time I'm doing it, so my wife's like she's like, I'm angry that they're doing that, and I'm like, in a year you're not gonna give a shit. Why get angry?
Yeah. Why get mad? Get even. Just like Aerosmith said. Don't get mad, get even.
Yeah, we're going to move in with 50, 60,000 equity beyond our down payment, you know? So, I mean,
you're breaks. You're down in the final days now, yeah. You're almost there.
Pretty much. I mean, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's, let's see. Other than, you know, they got the windows they got to fix. They got two windows they have to fix. The stone out front has to be done. The landscaping. One more toilet to put in. Then all the fixtures have to go in, too. So you're talking like the faucets in both bathrooms.
You know, right.
I'm trying to think what else. The backsplash in the kitchen. The island's almost done. The only thing you got to do on the island is put the countertop on, and it's done. So the electrical's done in it too. So because there's a couple outlets in the end of the island, which that's going to be awesome. Because that's going to be the island's is where Joel's going to store his kitchen toys. You know, his bread maker and his sous vide. Well, I don't have a sous vide yet, but I will get one. And also be where I do most of the prep and stuff like that. But you know. And she's like, "Well, why do they have all these people doing this all?" I said, "They're different contractors. You don't want the guy that does framing to do your painting, do you?" It's like, do you want the DBA writing code if it's not SQL code? Probably not. So, reminding her that the same, you know, they can't have the same guy do all this stuff because they want to have the guy that's all he does all fucking day, hang drywall. And because that's all he does all day, he does it faster. So,
makes sense to me.
Well, I got my one-on-one tomorrow. I probably should actually fire up a Cloud Guru and start looking at my Ansible stuff. But we actually are hiring another admin in...
Is
found
it me?
Out, well, you could apply. I mean, if you really want to, I'll send you the link, but I don't know.
But I don't
want to
move. I don't want to move. I'm not leaving
Texas.
You
don't have to move. No, it'd be remote. You could work in Texas.
As long as you pay me a shit ton of money, I'm down.
Had to pay on work on Windows, though.
Have to what?
Work on Windows.
I work on Windows every day as it is. Shit tons of money.
I don't Don't take this the wrong way, Joe. Well, hey, well, in your case, I could refer you too. But I got a coworker, a guy I used to work with. He already had his first interview, and he's got a second one next week. I think next week. I don't understand because my boss is gonna be out for part of next week. But if they end up hiring him, I'll get $1,500 bonus, which means Joel's getting a new computer, baby.
Do it.
Yeah, I need to reduce some of the things. I did install Ubuntu on my yoga book. However, I don't know how long that yoga book's going to live. Because the one thing I noticed was the keyboard's a little bit humped up, so I have a feeling that the battery is puffy.
So stop running it, take it apart, pull the battery, order a new one, do it in that order, install it, and you'll be good.
Yeah, it's actually not too bad to install. And there's actually a YouTube video on that particular model, so I can actually order it ahead of time.
Before it damages the rest of your shit, take it apart.
Yeah, I gotta buy a tool to do that because I ain't got no tools here. If it dies, I don't care because it's pretty old, laptop wise. But
as long as it doesn't explode.
Yeah. The bad part, at least with corporate laptop, is, you know, I don't know when it changed, but they decided that instead of every 2 years, now it's every four. So I gotta keep the one I have working well, and I'm definitely probably gonna switch to a MacBook. Unfortunately, it will be a Pro with the stupid touch bar, but we'll see. That's why I'm gonna do that. There's at least two other guys on our team that are on MacBooks. So. Now, question is, though, now see, I don't get the bonus until he's gone through his 90-day, whoever we hire, if they're one of the ones I'm referring, I won't get the bonus until he's worked 90 days. So I got a little time to figure out what I want to get, and it's going to be probably primary Windows machine. Although, if I get a terabyte SSD, I'll probably go dual boot on it.
So you guys work with just the machines that they give you, or do you have HVDs as well?
Just the machines. Well, we have the machines that we have. Most of our work, it's going to be on the AWS servers, or it's going to be... all AWS. So I mean, everything is in AWS. So you're either RDPing or SSHing in from your machine. Technically, you probably could do good SSH into the what we call the SAVLA box. That's basically a machine that hosts a Java application that we use for starting listeners when we have to do things manually. And we can do it graphically, but more and more it's going to be with Ansible and Jenkins. Eventually we're switching to containers with Kubernetes, which means no more RDP. I'm not exactly sure how that's going to work on the Windows boxes, because right now if they want to containerize those Windows servers, they're going to have to figure out a way to do the installation work completely from command line so that it can be scripted with Jenkins or Ansible or something else. We do GitOps too. So our stuff is less programming the sites and more just installation. So it's just stringing everything together. And we're part of the product, we're under the CPO, or the Chief Product Officer, I think. So I think now we're finally going to get the ear of R&D more so that we can say, hey, this cool feature you added so that people could just add pages to self-service from the interface. Yeah, that's bad because it stores that information on the freaking web server. Okay? Not, you know, it's not secure information, but it's actual code. It's stored on the web server. Well, when you're load balanced, when you change one, it only changes that one, so you've got to figure out a way to replicate all the changes across four different web servers or more. So I'm like, you know, and when I had our CPO had like a little call today where we, not today, yesterday, where we can ask questions. And that's when me and one of the major of all our SDMs, which is a new term, but we both said that. And we said, you know, in any time they want to change security, like of which roles in the application can use said page within self-service, that stores it in a sitemap.config file in the application. Well, if you're logged into web server 1, it's not going to change it on web server 2, 3, and 4. It's only going to change it on web server 1. So you either have to log into each server individually to make that change, or you have to have a way to script it, or the product should synchronize it. You know, it should have a thing somewhere in it where either synchronizes it across all four of those web servers, or it stores the configuration in the cloud server in one place so that it only goes to one place and all four web servers get the configuration and that code from one place. But so, you know, hopefully things are going to get better with that regard, because we don't develop that portion of it. We just develop all the strings to tie it all together. So, but anyway, at least I've got a long weekend.
Yep, always nice. Well, I got the results from my x-ray back.
What'd you do?
Oh, my back's been all messed up. Ooh. But they're saying that there's minimal deterioration on the L4, L5, and minimal... more deterioration on the hip joint itself. So that's not the issue. So I'm assuming it's got to be probably lateral pelvic tilt.
Okay. Well, they'll figure out what it is and then they'll charge you for it.
Well, it's the VA, so they won't charge me for it.
Well, yes, they will, indirectly.
No. They'll bill my insurance. Then they'll ignore the rest of it.
Now, I don't know if I mentioned on the show, I did get a new CPAP machine. And it's been doing the job. I think they got this prescription right. I've been feeling okay. Most nights I've been getting between 5. I never get much more than 6 hours sleep in a night. It's just impossible for my body to do that. It's at the 5 or 6 hour mark, my eyes just light up. Or like today at the around
That's
the 4 hour
sleeping
mark.
Sleeping pills are for.
Oh, I know. I've taken one for the last two or three days. It doesn't always work, but
Tylenol PM and what's that other one?
Oh, I'm on prescription level shit. I'm on Sonata.
Yeah, I'm not there. I don't like the idea of taking the prescription level stuff.
Well, my doctor, now Sonata, it's technically, Sonata is supposed to be as if you wake up in the middle of the night, you take it. So you go back to sleep quicker or something like that.
Melatonin.
But my problem, okay, melatonin's bullshit mostly.
What?
I've tried it.
Well, maybe it's bullshit for you, but man, that shit knocks me the hell out. I can't
melatonin, it never does it to me.
Melatonin is good for getting you to sleep, but it is definitely not the greatest for keeping you asleep.
Man, when I take melatonin, I have a hard time getting up the next morning. I just want to keep sleeping.
Really? Wow.
Absolutely. I have absolutely no problem going to sleep, and I have no problem staying asleep. But if I take melatonin, it's harder for me to get up the next day. It's like...
That's wild.
Yeah.
Melatonin does diddly shit for me.
Melatonin, it helps a lot of people in my family, but I don't need the help.
Melatonin is also one of those medications that's heavily tilted towards weight, so bigger guys have to take more of it.
I've tried taking quadruple the dose, and it still doesn't do shit for me. But
part of that might be, you know, your sleep apnea.
Yeah, but my problem has never been, and this is why my previous doctor, my previous doctor, I don't think she's with the practice anymore, so I went and saw the guy who owns the place again until I get tired of his ass and fire him again. but he's like, well, Ambien will do better. I'm like, no. See, I took Ambien during one of the tests, okay? Here's how it works for me. They told me I slept all night. My brain thought, you're up all night. That's exactly what I thought happened. It was a weird time warp. I took it. I'm laying there. I think I'm wide awake. And I think I'm laying there for about an hour. And all of a sudden, the tech comes in and says, you're done. And I'm like, what time is it? She's like, it's 5 a.m. I'm like, really? Yeah, because you usually show up around 9. So, and I'm like, how, huh? I'm like, okay. And I go and I pick up my phone and my watch. And I'm like, damn, it's 5 a.m. I'm like, what the hell happened? It's like, so Joel does not do Ambien. No way. Because it's like, if I take it, it better put my ass to sleep and I better know it. But if I take it and I don't think I'm sleeping and all of a sudden I lose 4 or 5 hours, I'm like, are you crazy? Nope. It's like, and I didn't feel like I slept either. Now, granted, this was in a sleep study. You never feel like you sleep when you're in a sleep study. But at least that's what happened with me. You know,
well,
some people say, yeah, I sleep good during sleep studies. I'm like, that's bullshit.
My first one, I didn't. My fourth or fifth one, I slept real good.
Right. Oh, and a lot of people think, well, you just go and you go for the first one, then you go get your titration, and that's it. Well, no, you got to tune it because your body changes as you get older. As you gain or lose weight, it's going to change. You know, if you lose weight, hopefully your pressures go down. If you gain weight, well, your pressures are going to go up, probably.
Different masks require different pressures.
Yes. Yes. You know, a certain mask, like the one I was using for a long time, I ended up switching from to the one I'm on now. And it seems to do better with the higher pressure I'm on.
No, but I think I have your old one, because this one just like sits right under the nose and then covers the mouth.
Probably a ResMed Quattro Pro or Mirage, I think.
No, the Quattro Mirage I actually liked. And then they switched me. They quit making the Quattro line and gave me a different line, which works okay for a few days and then fucking breaks. And then I had them switch to this one that's just a cushion that basically is under the nose, and it's got a slit for each nostril, and then covers the mouth, and that's it.
Okay. And
that one I have to bump the pressure up on to actually be able to sleep. And I'm still dialing it in, but trying to get in.
Nose cushions never really worked for me. Yeah.
Well, this one isn't just the straight nose cushion. I know the ones you're talking about, because I don't like those either. Right. They mess with my nose. And this one just butts up against the nose and then has it just goes around the mouth. Yeah. But I have to bump the pressure up like 3 or 4 points just to be able to actually get to sleep. And I can't get into the sleep center to, you know, get it done properly because they have no openings until right. like December.
Yeah. You know, see, the first full face one I tried was called the, was a ResMed Liberty. It was a hybrid where it had a section that goes over your mouth and it had nose cushions. Well, there was a couple things wrong with it. One, the higher pressures I'm on, the cushions would gradually leave my nose. so then I'd get no therapy. And then the other one problem with it is, like, I had one for one day. I freaking roll over and crack the mask. So it's like, yeah. So that's when I went to the Quattro Mirage. The first one I had was the Swiss, which was just the nose cushions. That wasn't working great for me. And they said, here, try tying your mouth shut with a chin strap. Well, that don't work either for me. Nah, yeah. When I say it don't work, I mean for me. I don't mean it won't work for you. For the listeners.
I spent a lot of time teaching myself to sleep with my mouth closed, specifically because of the CPAP machine, so that I was breathing through my nose the way that you're supposed to. The problem with that gets to be when I'm congested and I have allergies. So,
yeah. Yeah, depending on how, if you have lots of allergies or if you have other nasal issues, it just depends on those kinds of things, on whether you decide to go full face or not. I am a full face advocate just because even if you don't have the mouth opening problem that I do, if all of a sudden you get a cold or something, you can't breathe through your nose, at least you can still get your therapy. So, yeah. And so it's, the one I have is okay. I'd love to lose enough weight to be a good candidate for Inspire therapy, which is essentially a outpatient surgery, and they put an implant in you and run wires up to your trachea, up where the problems usually are. And then whenever it detects that you're having an episode, it sends a little shock and opens it up. So you can't feel it, but and then
it actuates the muscles for you.
Right. So and then all you have to do at night when you go to sleep is you hold this thing over where the implant is, which charges it inductively, and then it lasts all night. So, kind of like
that sounds cool. I'll be a cyborg.
My wife's like, you're not gonna get. I'm like, if it means I can pack enough batteries to keep the charger going and take a extended vacation where I can go on a long distance hike, I'm all for it. You know, if I could do some section hikes,
you could lose the weight.
Yeah. Yeah, I avoid eating pizza. That would help. But but damn it, pizza tastes good.
So. Make your own pizza.
Oh, I've done that. I do. But it's hard. It's hard when you're living in a hotel and you have no stove.
True.
And no pizza worth making will fit in the toaster oven.
True.
Well, yeah, unless you,
I might disagree with you there. You can make a tortilla pizza.
I could do that in the microwave, to be honest. It won't be that great, but I could do that in the microwave. I have done that in the microwave. It actually works pretty well.
All right.
I've also done.
It's getting late. I got to get going.
Ease 10 o'clock.
What were you going to add there, Joel, before we wrap it up?
And see, one little trick that I've done for a snack is I've taken pepperoni, put it on a paper towel, and microwave it for 30 seconds at a time until it's crispy. It's actually really good, and you can throw cheese on it too if you wanted to.
There you go.
Oh, I'll change it up for turkey pepperoni and fat-free cheese.
Yeah. Oh boy, the neighbors are setting fireworks off.
Yeah.
Over at the Red Roof Inn. Woohoo!
All right, guys. Good night.
Have a good one, man.
Good night.
All right, I guess you gotta.
It's the South Side's favorite game to play at this time of year. Is it fireworks or is it gunshots?
Yeah.
Ha 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 ha. But anywho, I'm in the burbs now, so it's not near as bad as it was where I used to live. Although I still see people bitching on Nextdoor and on the local Facebook group. Anyway.
All right.
Everyone have a happy 4th of July. Enjoy your extra day off if you get one. Not everybody does. My wife doesn't. Take care.
All right. Yeah, have a safe and happy 4th. Here are your promos. We'll see you in a week. Fire it away.
Oh my God.
It's Hacker Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
Hello. My name is Matt, and I've started a new podcast called LibreQuest. I talk about Linux and general technical topics. To get the show, visit LibreQuest.org.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? With my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know what we're doing. Well, Grove City's fireworks are Friday.
We don't have any fireworks around. Well, I mean, there's only one place doing fireworks around here, and that is... We're not going to go, because everybody in this whole area is going to be going there, and it's...
Yeah.
Probably too much.
COVID or not, I wouldn't do it anyway. We don't do it at Columbus's anymore.
Too many people. To get there would be like get there and back would be like 3 freaking hours.
Now Columbus, this wasn't because of COVID that they're not having theirs. They couldn't get the permits to do it this year. I guess they decided to do it too late. But that's all right. When Columbus usually does it never is the 4th. They usually try to reserve the 4th for the local communities around Columbus. But the problem is because people know about it, they'll purposely take the day off, and they literally will take 10. I'm not joking. They'll take tents and put them up in the park and get ridiculous with it. They'll be like, really? I'm like, and so they'll go down there about noon, and by the time the fireworks roll around, they're liquored up, dude. They are drunk and rowdy and not fun to be around. So that's where I say, I'm done. It ended. True story. One year we did take Luke down. He was maybe about 2. I'm sitting here pushing a stroller, and there's this young thing, like probably early 20s in front of us. He reaches up and gives this girl a world-class goose. She looks around, gives me a dirty look. I'm like, it wasn't me. It was my son. I'm sorry. And she looks down at him and goes, oh, he's so cute. Can he have a pop? I'm like, yeah, sure. And so she gave him a can of Cherry Coke. Oh, it was funny. He probably doesn't even remember that anymore. But boy, did I catch hell. Not from the wife either, from that girl. I'm like, it's not me. And she's like, and she saw his little googly eyes, and she melted. Yeah, but I mean, don't get me wrong, I've seen girls I thought, boy, I'd like to squeeze her butt, but I don't do that, you know. So anyway, yeah, my wife just called me dirty old man. I'm like, yeah, damn straight. So, all right, sir. Have a good holiday.
All right, you too, man.
Go fire up that green egg and cook you some meat, buddy.
You know what? I'm smoking a brisket tomorrow.
There you go.
Yeah. So, I gotta get up early for Saturday. All right. Have a good one.
See you, bud.
Are you off now?
Right now, I'm not working. Not working.
Oh, so when you take it off, like the 2 weeks after, like next 2 weeks?
No, not this weekend. Not this week coming up, but the week after.
Okay. You going anywhere?
Maybe a couple overnights here and there.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh, yeah, yeah. All right, look at that. That's good. That's not where I want to be. And oh,
is it really humid and hot up there?
It's like 94 today.
Okay.
It was warmer like yesterday. Looks like it's about to pour. So if the power, if I get dumped, it's because the power went out.
Okay. Yeah, our storm's coming on Friday. It's supposed to be here. Are you doing anything for the 4th?
Nothing major. I've been looking for freaking new barbecue grill, and it seems like it's like a lot of low-end shit, and like there's a huge jump to high-end shit. There's like nothing in between.
Yeah, no kidding, huh? So you spend like under $100, or you could spend like $1,000.
Exactly. $200 or like $1,200. Take your pick. I have a basic requirement. I don't like those enamel grills. I like stainless steel. They just hold up better, you know?
Uh-huh.
You know, those enamel ones, they start falling apart after like, you know, 2, 3 years, 4 years, depending on how hard you use it. And that stuff is garbage. It's like eating glass after that, you know? It falls into your food.
The char griller brand, you get it at Home Depot.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that one.
For under $100.
I like gas, you know. You turn it on, it's fucking hot in like 5 minutes, you know.
Uh-huh.
You cook, you shut it off, you're done. Don't get me wrong, if I'm gonna do like a smoke, I don't mind doing briquettes, you know, and going for hours and hours on end. But I just want to, you know, I come home from work, I just want to cook up a couple, you know, burgers and stuff, you know, hot dogs or whatever.
Right.
I just want to turn on, you know, cook and be done.
Wow. All right. Oh.
Where is... I guess Jolie should be showing up very shortly. I don't know if Joe's coming on. Who knows? Maybe Rich will show up soon. So what did I mess up here? Okay. All right. Time is it? It's about time to start the show. Give another minute or so. July 4th. All right. Well, those other guys should be here any minute, I guess. I don't have anything in my email about them not showing up.
Do you guys have a pool?
No.
Yeah, all right. Did you hear about Windows 11 is going to require internet access for use and activation?
Sounds like an Xbox.
Yeah. I saw that come across one of my news feeds today. People were not happy about that, but... what can you do?
Don't use it.
Absolutely. So, man, I can't remember the last time I was actually on a Windows... Not including, like, the every couple of months I have to log into, or like every 60 or 90, I forget, is it 60 or 90 days where I have to go in and change my password? So I'm actually in two different Active Directories. So when I change it on my work laptop through the system, it goes only into the one Active Directory environment. I have to remote desktop into another one to actually set the same password over there and get it changed, which is kind of a pain in the butt. And that's like the only time I log into a Windows machine, because it's a Windows server.
I have to log into a Windows machine every day.
That's your problem, man. It's painful, isn't it?
It is. Excruciating every day.
That's why I don't do it anymore, man.
I've got a work laptop that's Windows. I don't mind because I don't have to configure anything. They push out all the updates. It's their business.
All right. Is it cooling off down there for you, Joe?
Fuck no.
Go from 104 to 94?
104 to 103.
There you go. 98%. Do you have a high humidity down there, or is it pretty dry?
No, it's always freaking humid.
Yeah, there you go. This is a time of the year, like, we can't open our front door because it gets so humid it swells up.
I get that sometimes with my fence.
My sister's in New Orleans. It's a fucking sauna down there now.
Oh, man.
I'm not that far from New Orleans.
All right. Guess we should start the show. By the time we get rolling, Joel will be blowing in here with his echoing mumble on the gazebo in his one-room apartment. All right, this is 912. I didn't get everything queued up. Kids enjoying their summer break?
Yep.
Come on. I'm
trying to find a charger for my headset. Hold on.
All right. This is 912. You got your charger?
Maybe. I don't know.